If you had yesterday off, today seems like Monday. If you didn't, today seems like Tuesday. And you're right, it is. And it's book pick day, and we couldn't be more excited. It's a great way to start off the week for me, and hopefully for you as well. Our wonderful bookseller of the week is Susanna Hermans of Oblong Books in Millerton and Rhinebeck. She joins us this morning to present some of the finest authors and books that are making their way to store shelves this season. And Susanna, it is always a great pleasure to have you with us. Thank you very much for being here.
Oh, thanks, Joe.
Where would you like to begin?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we're going to begin with two books of short stories, which I have fallen in love with. I have to admit,
you've fallen in love with the book or the genre of short stories.
Oh, let's say both.
Okay.
Would say.
All right.
I've certainly read short stories before, but I feel like over this winter I have rediscovered them. Let's say
George Saunders did it, right?
I shockingly have not yet read the George.
Oh, okay.
Saunders
all right. All right.
Well, but it's on the pile. It's
yeah,
on the
you
pile.
You have to read.
Exactly. I started with Karen Russell's Vampires in the Lemon Grove, which just came out last week.
Author of Swamplandia.
Yes, yes. She is amazing. And she wrote Swamplandia, which was a finalist for the Pulitzer. She also has a great book called, her first book was a short story. It's called St. Lucy's Home for Girls Raised by Wolves.
Oh, right.
And her new book of short stories is so incredibly amazing. And I have to admit, this is the first book of hers that I've actually read. But now that I've read it, I will read everything she's written and everything she will ever write because I love her. The stories are so beautifully crafted. And the interesting thing about this particular collection is that they all sort of have a supernatural or fantastical element within the story. They're very much literary fiction, but with a really weird and wonderful streak.
She's on the show, I believe, next week.
Oh, wonderful.
And we're very excited to have her on.
She is just lovely. We had her at the bookstore last year, and what a sweetheart.
Where was she? Was she at Bard?
She was. I believe she won the Bard Fiction Prize a couple of years ago. She was an artist in residence there.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah.
It is Karen Russell, Vampires in the Lemon Grove, and the author of Swamplandia. The book is published by Knopf, and I have just, literally just started it, and it seems terrific. I love her work, so that's awesome. Vampires in the Lemon Grove.
And the second book of stories I brought with me today is We Live in Water by Jess Walter.
Oh, I've read this too. I love her.
Oh, good. Him, actually.
Oh, I apologize. Yeah.
No, that's
right.
Okay.
Him. Yeah,
it's
that's
a common
right.
mistake.
Beautiful Ruins, right?
Beautiful Ruins.
That's right.
I am literally finishing in the car right now on audio.
It's a great, great book.
Yes. And this book of stories, again, was the first thing of his I'd read. He also has written many novels, The Zero, Citizen Vince, and The Financial Lives of Poets was another one that was well-received. This book of stories is similarly amazing. I feel like these two books together make a perfect gift to your best reading friend. What's great about this book is also it is a paperback original, so there's really no excuse for not buying it, I like to think.
Right.
His artistry is just wonderful with his writing.
Yes. I have not read the stories. I have read Beautiful Ruins and beautiful stuff. It is a genius of modern American moment, said the Philadelphia Inquirer.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We Live in Water by Jess Walter. Cool.
Yeah. And I can tell that it's already going well because I think it came out like last week and I sold all my copies except for the one I brought with me today. And I went to reorder it and they said, oh, we don't have any more. We have to reprint it.
See, so that's what happens when you
sign.
When you independent booksellers hand sell things.
Exactly.
That's what happens there.
Okay, so now I have a nonfiction book with me today that I just finished last week. Going Clear by Lawrence Wright. This is the expose of Scientology by the writer of The Looming Tower, who won the Pulitzer Prize. It is fascinating. I have always sort of had a morbid fascination for the world of Scientology, and this book just completely indulged that need to find out what it's all about. It's a really sort of excellently done, even-handed look at where this religion came from, how it was founded, a lot about L. Ron Hubbard's background and history, and then it also really looks at Scientology today, and he interviewed over 200 people to try to do as balanced a book as he could. The church is famously very secretive and does not want to, wouldn't speak with him very much directly, beside the fact that they did read through all of what he put together and give his their opinions on things, but they wouldn't necessarily be interviewed per se. And I just couldn't put it down. It's just gripping.
It is. It's absolutely gripping. It was initially came out of an article that he wrote about Paul Haggis for The New Yorker and was expanded into this book. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, and it is a it's a bestseller for a reason, because it is as you say, a very even-handed account, really fascinating about how celebrity is used, and even how we define religion, and how basically it comes down to a tax code. And it's all fascinating. And it's called Going, and wonderfully written, I should add, Going Clear, Scientology, Hollywood, and the Prison of Belief. Lawrence Wright is the author, and published by Knopf.
And then moving on to some kids' books. First, I have Better Nate Than Ever by Tim Federle. This is a middle grade novel, so it's, I think, perfect for ages 8 and up. And it's about a kid who hops a bus to New York City, doesn't tell his parents that he's going there, and auditions for E.T. the musical. being a musical theater kid as I was, if I had read this book as a kid, it would have been my absolute all-time favorite book. Nate, the character of Nate, is so lovable and funny and delightful, and he goes on this great big adventure. The book all takes place within one day, the day that he goes to New York, and he is backed up by his best friend, who couldn't come with him but is home by her cell phone, there to help him with any crazy things that he encounters, and he does encounter some interesting things. And any kid who loves theater, any kid who loves funny books will enjoy this book. And Tim himself, the author, is a Broadway actor, and he had worked on Billy Elliot the musical, and that's where he got the idea for the book. Basically, was interacting with so many kid actors and seeing what they're like, what they go through, and he thought, oh, there's something here.
Well, I'm only going by the author photo there, Susanna, but he looks 9. How did he play Billy Elliot? How old is the kid?
No, I would say he's probably late 20s.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you admit that. Yes, very young looking.
It's true. I would say that.
Well,
yes.
I mean, we can't judge an author by their book jacket cover, can we?
No.
Yeah, this looks really fun.
It is. I loved it.
So Tim fled to New York City as a teenager. He has since worn a Tina Turner wig at the Super Bowl, a polar bear suit at Radio City, and a big fat grin in 5 Broadway shows.
Right?
That's a great thing to put on your resume.
I think so.
Tim Federle, the author of Better Nate Than Ever from Simon & Schuster.
And then on the young adult front, I brought a book called Emily's Dress and Other Missing Things by Catherine Barack. This is a book that definitely flew under the radar. I feel like I'm the only person who got to read it, and it's a shame because I love this book. It's about a girl whose mom has passed away, and her best friend has gone missing, all within sort of the course of a year. She's sort of torn up inside. She's really sort of adrift, and she finds solace by going to the Emily Dickinson Museum after hours in Amherst. That's where the book is set. And then one night, she accidentally steals Emily Dickinson's dress.
How do you accidentally steal a dress?
You got to read the book.
Oh, okay.
You
got to
read the book.
All right.
It's such a wonderful story. It has a nice romance in it, but nothing PG-13. I mean, it's fine for 12 and up. And deep characters, beautiful writing. I just love this book.
Emily's Dress and Other Missing Things by Kathleen Barack?
Catherine Barack.
Barack. And the book is published by Roaring Brook Press. Excellent. All right.
And then I've rounded out my list today with 2 picture books for Black History Month.
Ooh.
The first one is called A Splash of Red, The Life and Art of Horace Pippin. It's by Jen Bryant, illustrated by Melissa Sweet. What I love about picture book biographies is that you think of picture books being for young children, toddlers and whatnot, but picture book biographies are really for kids ages 6 to 10. They take nonfiction and make it beautiful and give it life on the page. And this particular book is a story about Horace Pippin, who is an artist who I was unfamiliar with until I read the book. And he was a child in the late 1800s. He always loved to draw. He grew up, went off to World War I, was shot, and he could no longer draw. He couldn't lift his right arm when he comes back from war.
Mm.
So he spends his whole adult life relearning how to draw. And the art that he does is stunning. N.C. Wyeth was a huge fan of his work and helped bring it to attention in galleries and museums across the country. If you know Melissa Sweet's work, I think you will really love this. Jen and Melissa also had partnered on the book A River of Words, The Story of William Carlos Williams, which was a Caldecott honor a few years ago. Bright colors, beautiful. The splash of red and the title refers to Horace Pippin would always add a dash of red into his art to give it life. And it's just a beautiful book. I just love it.
And I think it's interesting because some of the original illustrations from Pippin are included, so yes. You can see because they're illustrated by the illustrator in the context of the book, and yet you can actually see where they come from originally, which is very cool. A splash of red, and he lived in Goshen, so there's a local connection as well. So there you go, excellent.
Brilliant. And then lastly, I brought the stunning Nelson Mandela by Kadir Nelson. Kadir Nelson is known for doing nonfiction picture books. He did a wonderful book called Henry's Freedom Box, and he just recently illustrated a version of Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech that is available now with an audio CD in the back, which is actually quite lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is a biography of Nelson Mandela. Kadir Nelson's art is breathtaking. I have been a fan of his work for a long time, and it seems like every book he does tops the previous ones. It sort of blows me away. This one has such a very striking cover because it is a close-up of Nelson Mandela's face with no text on the cover at all. I love his work. He is, I've gotten to meet him several times, and he is just so quiet and reserved and lovely and serious about his work. And I think this one might be my favorite. I really love it.
I mean, there is a picture of several men, elders meeting, and it's a large painting, but it's stunning. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of work.
Absolutely.
Really gorgeous, and and very Rockwell-esque in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Very beautiful. It is Nelson Mandela, and Kadir Nelson is the author of the book, and it's gorgeous. It's published by Catherine Tegan Books. It's an imprint of HarperCollins, so we'll just say that because it's easier. for more information, hey, any events we need to go to?
Yeah, on Friday night we're having Randy Susan Myers at our Rhinebeck store at 7 o'clock. She is a novelist. Her new book is called The Comfort of Lies.
Ooh.
And she is just wonderful, and her books are divine.
Terrific. So we can look forward to that on Friday night. You can find out more information about all of the books that Susanna mentioned, as well as the events coming up, by going to their website, oblongbooks.com, oblongbooks.com, or better yet, visit them in Rhinebeck and Millerton. Have your passport stamped twice. Susanna Hermans, it's great to see you. Thank you very much. We look forward to having you back very soon.
Thank you so much,
Joe.
Always
a pleasure. You can see Susanna's list also at wamc.org/bookpicks. Garrison Keillor and the Writer's Almanac are next. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.